to 3HL.
Powered by Ryan Kelly and thehomeloanexpert.com.
With Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, and Ron Slay.
Welcome back in to 3HL, people. You know what it is, man. You're right here with me, Ron Slay, man.
Good old Rocky Top.
This kind got no root.
At all.
This kind got no root. No root. No root.
Good old.
Woo! Okay. Good
that's
Lord.
Let that ride. You gotta let that ride. That's her, man. She don't give a damn about her reputation.
Let's go.
Yeah, man, they're back in here to 3HL. We you all with talking about who will be the most impactful with a guy like Tillman out for the Tennessee Vols coming up against this big matchup. Game day will be in the building. The Gators coming up on Rocky Top, top 25 opponent. I mean, this is what you're looking for. You got your big time threat, your security blanket. For Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, expected to be out. It's highly questionable, air quotes. So
highly questionable.
Yeah. Who steps up is the question. We would love to hear from you at 615-737-1045. You can chime in also Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch.
Twitch, please.
Okay. Thank you, Babsy. And so for me, Babsy, straight off, I think when it comes to the single matchup security blanket that Cedric Tillman gave you, meaning it's third and eight and you need a big time catch, break it with some yards after. Brew McCoy is my guy. Brew McCoy is my guy straight off. When you're talking about a possession that's needed, big play threat, I think you can go elsewhere with Hyatt and people of that nature, but that's who I'm going with just straight off the bat. Now, if you could feel differently about that, because a lot of people keep going to, this is going to be a running matchup, a running game. Everybody wants to run the ball. And I understand that. But to me, you can't go away from what is your bread and butter, your bread and butter. And that is
tempo.
Yep. Yeah. And you gash them by the big plays. And I believe that's what happens by getting guys in individual matchups and them taking advantage of them. And Brew McCoy, we know, is a matchup problem.
Yeah, no doubt. 6'3", 225.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Run that tempo. I just think, I don't know. And you guys all know, I will be the first to bring some negativity or
yeah.
not.
A reality check.
Yeah. When it comes to Tennessee football and this team. I'm not sure that this is a game.
Oh, hello.
I think this Florida defense is going to struggle with that tempo. Okay. I think that they struggle to stop the run. I think that you couple that with this tempo and a beat up defense and you don't have your kind of field general out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Tennessee rolls in this one.
And
I am the first to sit here and say, well, now hold on.
Yeah.
And I said it about Pitt and I got killed on Twitter. I said, you know, Pitt was not the team that everybody thought they were going to be in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, part of that was Jordan Addison is gone. It looks very different. They're a beat-up team. They were beat up after West Virginia. I don't think West Virginia is as good as, right, you know, everybody thought. That was a super emotional matchup. So, you know, when people sit here and say, well, Tennessee hasn't played anybody, then, you know, I don't necessarily disagree just because Pitt is in a different spot than you thought they were going to be at the beginning of the
mm-hmm.
season.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not discounting Pitt because, you know, they play in the ACC now. They get the
ACC
rest of
champions.
Their schedule, yeah. And once they get healthy, I'm sure they'll be okay. But mm-hmm. anyway, I think that Florida will struggle mightily.
Yeah.
With this tempo and this offense and run game and whether Cedric is there or not.
And I think you hit on it, Babsy. With that being the reason this tempo will affect them is because you got to have somebody that you rely on, and who better than the quarterback of the defense that can get everyone lined up quickly. Even if you got in your notes, hey man, If they're going too fast, you got to lay down. It's somebody that reminds them of that coming out of the huddle or able to communicate with the defensive line and the guys behind them as far as the safeties go. Miller being in that situation has been the quarterback of that. And with him out, who accepts that role, not only just getting you right, but countering all this noise. Like, you got to have a familiar voice that you're listening to and familiar hand gestures, whatever it may be. So for him out, I think that's almost bigger than what is being said. So that's huge. And I think when you get in the running game, you need guys, especially on the road, to make kind of outstanding plays. He's a guy that can make outstanding plays for Florida. So I feel like that's an advantage for University of Tennessee.
I do wonder, I mean, I know Tennessee has played in big environments, but this this environment is the expectations, the hype, the all of it, you name it. This is new for this group.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, how do they handle that? How do they handle College Game Day on campus? Yeah. How does this group, and I know that Josh Heupel is very mellow, you know, live within the walls of our building coach, like they all are, but it'll be interesting to see how this group does handle the expectations and the hype around where they are as a program right now.
You know what I believe, Babsy? I believe they got a good taste of it last year versus Ole Miss. And they expected, I believe the players expected, because what you get from going through a year of expectations, high hopes, living up to it to a degree, and the crowd coming out and supporting, you get to see it in other sports. So when they got the transition from football last year and go to basketball and kind of get that excitement, then go to baseball, get that same excitement, it's almost, it's expected. Like, man, this is supposed to be bananas. Now, if this the Ole Miss game didn't take place last year, Babs, I'd be like, man, it, like, this can get to them.
Yeah.
I think it's more so now that they're looking at it as, man, this is what we have. This is our advantage. Y'all got to come deal with this. We want this. Like, you feel it walking around. Like, that's why I was trying to explain to people from the outside perspective of it. From a basketball player walking around school, I could call my guys on Wednesday back here in Nashville that's coming up to the game and be like, hey, man, y'all need to be at this game. I'm telling you, I can feel it on campus.
Yeah.
And you can. So I think they all get that feeling, and we knew the football players felt it. You know, I was in great communications with them. I live with one. We'll have one on tomorrow, Big Al Haynesworth, who can talk about it, what that feeling is like. And I do think it's not that same 98 feeling. This is something different because they haven't – this crowd hasn't had winning. You know, any carrot teased in front of this crowd, going to go bananas about. You know what I'm saying? So I think you get that, and I think this team is – we have a luxury of having a 24-year-old at the helm. I say that.
So, I know, yeah.
That helps. You know what I mean? That helps a lot.
I know that, I guess, people maybe that just, or younger people don't maybe realize this rivalry.
Right.
And what it was like and what it's about. And because we talk to Chris Lowe all the time. Chris Lowe knows. I think he wrote a great piece for ESPN just talking about the in-depth look at this rivalry, because you look at recently and Florida has dominated, absolutely dominated. So people look at it and think, well, Florida doesn't look at you guys as a rival, you know, and I brought it up yesterday. It's very similar to Kentucky and Tennessee and Kentucky, where it didn't matter if Kentucky was the better team. Tennessee still somehow got them year after year after year. And that's kind of, you know, this Florida-Tennessee rivalry for so long.
Right.
So, obviously, the Vols have the advantage of a Hendon Hooker back there. They have the advantage of having this game at home. But you've seen it.
Yes.
You never know what happens in
absolutely
a Florida-Tennessee game.
You have no
so
clue.
I can sit here and say I think that Tennessee is going to dominate this game and walk away with this. And be dead wrong. You know, I'll have
no
good track record the last week, by the way. I went all in on Mississippi State. They laid a freaking egg.
This is true.
You know, I've gone all in on Matt Ryan. I mean, he looks like he's 70 years old playing football right now. So my track record is not good. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. You know what helps with it, Babsy? This is what helps.
Drinking at B-dubs? Yeah,
that will.
Am I allowed to do that? Yeah,
we will. Wash away toast will be coming soon.
Oh, that's right. I can do it then.
Yeah, that's right. But you what was ushered in this, and y'all can tell me if I'm wrong, with the younger generation that is there now, not being able to see and understand this rivalry, is almost a gift and a curse in the sense of a new regime and culture was issued in, not only with Heupel, but a new regime and culture was issued in with Danny White as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the way they're out in the at the school and on the grounds and, you know, at the UC and at the stadiums at each sporting event is a little different than what you were used to. So it's almost a, hey, man, watch this. Believe in me. I haven't given you any reason not to yet, so just follow me. And they follow in. It's a lot of excitement following them. And it's a lot of winning going on in each sport. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens. I just don't think they're used to the losing of it. Now, Vol Nation is, but the people that are at that school who they're surrounded by and the people that will be in that stadium supporting, they're not. I don't believe. Now, you can't say, now, Babs, don't you say that outside that stadium. Because everybody going to be like, oh, you a fool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know what it is. It's 16 out of the last 17.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I think it's a little different for the players, the people that got to go out there and prove it.
Where were you in 2016?
I was at that game.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was about 15 rows up.
No way.
Screaming.
And looking, were you still looking playing around. Overseas?
I was. Yeah. So I used to always be able to catch the first three games before I left. I always pushed my contract back to make sure I catch at least
make sure
a
you
games.
Could catch a couple.
I got to catch a couple games.
So yeah. 2016 was the last time that ESPN's College Game Day was there. And, yes, that was a 21-3 halftime score where Tennessee was down.
Yes. Yes. And I will say,
came
Babsy,
back to win it.
That was one of the first times I didn't see people leave.
Well, and
at halftime, like, people didn't leave. Even though they were getting blasted, like, nobody left. It was kind of like, why everybody hanging out? Like, we can go out here and party.
Like, everybody knew.
I saw it against Alabama. Mm. When the second quarter arrived, guess where we went? Hey, man, we're going to go out here to the tailgate, man. What y'all finna do?
Oh, nice fan base. Yeah, what?
This was real. This was real. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. You know what I mean? But everybody held on for that game, and they came out and struck.
Yep, that was the last time Tennessee beat Florida. So, there you go. We'll see.
Thanks for
should
reminding
be a good
everybody,
one.
Babs.
Just let you know. Should be a good one. Hey, we're going to transition back to Titans talk. Greg Cosell, the best in the business at Film Study, will join us. What went wrong with the Titans against the Bills? How can they fix it? And what can we look ahead to on Sunday? 3HL, we are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Clarksville. We got a fun little group of fans here. Starting to kick it all off. There we go.
Yeah.
Come join us all right here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Clarksville. We'll be right back.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Welcome back into 3HL. Yes, indeed, man. I appreciate you all being here for us and with us. You know, we got up here at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Queen City, Clarksville. It's live up here. We got the drinks flowing. We got the food going. Me and Babs setting it on off. Matter of fact, hold on. Hey, can we get a noise? Tighten up on three. let me get a tighten up on three. One, two, three. See, it's still love out here, baby.
Still
love out here. You know what I mean? It's still belief out here.
Even though our friend Greg Cosell probably cringed at watching the tape of this last Titans performance, that's okay. Greg Cosell with NFL Films, NFL matchup on the ESPN properties. Best football film evaluator in the world. That's how we like to intro you. Hi, yes. Cosell.
Well, I like the music, too, Dawn, to start off there. That gets me going, you know?
Yes. We figured we needed to do anything we could since you're going to have to talk about what you just saw on film from this Titans offensive line.
So. What would you like to discuss, Dawn, this, after last Monday night's game? What in particular would you like to discuss?
I got a couple things, Cosell.
Well, right. I mean, what I want to discuss is the offensive line play or the lack thereof. Or what did you see? I felt like it was across the line. Like, it wasn't just – I thought Nate Davis struggled mightily, but I felt like it wasn't just one guy. It was across the board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a very good offensive line overall right now, and I think that's a pretty significant problem. And was exposed a bit against a very good Buffalo front. And, in fact, a Buffalo front that was missing two of their really good rotational players. So, no, I think that's a definite concern. You know, and it's very hard in this league to play with a 275, 280-pound guard. It's just it's not the situation you'd ideally like to be in. Believe it or not, I thought Petit Frere, again, played reasonably well, had a few bad snaps, which we talked about. That's to be expected. He's a rookie. You know, and obviously Daly had to come in and play for Lawan after the first snap of the game, and I assume he'll be the left tackle going forward. You know, even again, I'm only speaking about film, and we've talked about this before, that Taylor Lewan had not played great football for the last year or so. So, you know, I wouldn't say he was the solution either. So the offensive line is really only one of the offensive issues, but it's a big one.
It is a big one. So there is an argument here in Tennessee of some people that say, oh, well, Derrick Henry's not running like Derrick Henry, and he's done, and he's, you know, washed up and whatever else. And then there's the other side, which I'm a part of, that says there's not much he can do when there's zero room to run. There's no way for him to get going, all of that. So when it comes to Derrick Henry, what do you see?
Well, and I'm not saying this to denigrate you guys, but that's sports radio talk. We don't know the answer to that. We've played two games this season. You know, there's no way to evaluate Derrick Henry's entire future right now. So, you know, I think we need to put that aside for the moment. But he's running behind a poor offensive line. Clearly, there have been no big plays in the run game. And I think because of Henry's past and this offense's past history, many people expect Derek to get a 40, 50, 60-yard, 70-yard run every week. And he's done that enough where you just assume that that's going to happen. And quite frankly, those kinds of runs are rare in the NFL. Derrick Henry has been a truly special back, so he's had some of those, but they don't happen very often in the NFL. So the question becomes, if you can't do that, then what happens? That brings us to another concerning issue with this offense, which you probably would like me to discuss as well.
Yes. Yes. Well, because Cosell, I always remember you saying the Titans have to figure out how their run game or their pass game can exist, you know, separately from their run
right.
game. So I learned that to us.
I learned that from someone a hell of a lot smarter than I am, and that's Bill Walsh. But the bottom line is, when it comes to their pass game, and obviously Treylon Burks is a rookie, and he did show the ability in college to be a vertical threat, but he's still not a burner. So we don't know if he'll be a vertical threat in the league. But the larger point is, they don't have any team speed on offense. And it's very difficult in this league to play on offense without any kind of meaningful team speed. So, you know, right now, and all we can do is say right now, we don't know what the future holds, but if you just look at their offensive roster and personnel, their O-line is clearly not playing very well, and they don't have team speed on offense. So those two things cause problems. So, you know, it's easy to rip, and I'm sure they're being ripped. It's easy to rip Todd Downing. You know, we know how that goes. I mean, that's the world in which we live. But the question becomes... The question is, what are the options right now? You know, what can be done? You know, my guess is, and I don't know Mike Vrabel other than to say hello to him at the Combine, but I know his background. I would bet that their thought process would be that we have to go back to basics, that we're going to have to line up, we're going to have to run the ball, we're going to have to be a physical team, and that's what we're going to have to try to do. And that's the way we're going to get back on track. I would be very, very surprised if the thought process became, let's go out and toss the ball all around the yard. I don't think that's going to happen.
Man, Greg, you just, I mean...
He's just telling you what the tape shows. Yeah.
And this is what I want to know, Greg. So when watching the film, the O line is bad, understandable. You don't have speed on it on this team, not burning speed.
No.
But do you have guys when watching the film, receivers that you see with a little bit of separation, as they like to say, NFL open? Are you seeing any of that across the board?
I think, Slay, what you're dealing with, and this is where, you know, then it does become incumbent upon the staff to some degree, and believe me, these guys all know this. I mean, I know fans probably think they don't know this, you know, because they're fans, and we want fans. That's what makes the sport, any sport. But what you have to do is schematically create opportunities, and the key thing about that is that's what you can do in normal down and distance situations. So now you get into another discussion of, okay, it's first and 10. You're going to get a lot of those in games. So is first and 10 now a down for Derrick Henry, or is first and 10 now a down for some kind of schematic structure in the pass game to try to create explosive plays? Because the reality on first down when you play against defenses is that you get tendency-wise, pretty predictable fronts and pretty predictable coverages. That's where you can be most aggressively proactive in your pass game in those normal down and distance situations. So like I said, now that's another discussion. What are we going to do on first downs? Do we line up and say, hey, it's time to go back to basics and hand it off to Derrick Henry? Or is it more of, hey, this is the opportunity to try to create some explosive plays in the pass game, because it's going to be more and more difficult to do that with our personnel if it gets to be third and 8.
Cosell, now tell me this. Did you see, have you seen in the past a wrinkle with this toss, this halfback toss, that the Titans would take this and put in their game plan and say, man, this worked. Did that work against Buffalo, against the Rams, or what?
You're talking about the outside toss?
Yes, yes.
Well, they've had that in their system for years. Every team has, it's basically what we call a pin-pull concept.
Okay.
You toss it, you pull the guard to the side of the toss, you down block with wide receivers or a tight end, and you try to get the tackle out in front. Oftentimes teams do it to the boundary, because then the pulling tackle ends up blocking a corner, and you feel very good about that, because most corners kind of say no thank you when they kind of get out of the way. So, you know, that's in everybody's system, and everybody's, you know, running repertoire. So, you know, that's not something new. You know, it's not something you run 15 times, but it's something that you can run based on, you know, how you feel the game's going and your opponent. Look, they're going to have to do a lot of work as a staff. They know everything I just said. They know. Believe me, yeah, I'm one guy. Okay, they have a whole staff. Okay, I'm one guy who, because of my job on the matchup show and other things, is trying to watch as many games during the week as I can. Right. You know, they're a whole staff just dealing with their team and the upcoming opponent. So they're doing way more work than I am. So, you know, contrary to what people might think, they know everything I just said. So what they're trying to do is figure out how to compensate for the weaknesses that are clearly there, because you can't change all that in a week. You're not going to have brand new personnel this week. You're not all of a sudden going to have Olympic sprinters this week. So you have to figure out, the best way to run your offense. And you know what? That's not easy. Believe me. Everybody assumes it is. It's not. Because you go through a whole offseason and a whole training camp with the belief that this is who we are. This is the way we want to play. This is how we play our best. Okay? This is what coaches do. They live this stuff. You know, even in the month that they're off, they live this stuff. Believe me. I know a lot of coaches. So they're thinking about this every second. So it's not easy to make a 180-degree change. So that's why most coaches, a high percentage will say, hey, it's time to go back to basics and what we've been practicing and preaching and talking about for the last 7 months, as opposed to let's just blow it up and start with something new, which you can't really do in a week time anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I'm one of those people that has been critical of Todd Downing and play calling, and I was last year because you remember I asked you about it. Right. You were like, hey, listen, I look at what's on tape. But let me ask you this about what the tape tells. There were a couple of times I thought that, hey, there's not much Derrick Henry can do, right, with a bad offensive line. But I thought there were a couple of times I didn't know if it was maybe the play calling or if it was maybe on Tannehill. But can Tannehill look and see and check out of things? Like, there were a couple times where I thought, I know that he recognizes what's in front of them. He wouldn't be where he is if he didn't.
No. And again, you know, I happen to know someone who was actually part of the staff as an intern through the training camp. I wasn't hired, but, you know how teams bring in a bunch of people. And so you know, he was in the quarterback room, and he said that Tannehill is incredibly smart. He's incredibly aware of everything that's going on. So, you know, he's been in the league a long time. So, again, are there always going to be plays in a game where the quarterback, no matter how smart he is, just maybe doesn't recognize something, or the defense moves with a late movement and gets them? Those plays are going to happen. But, you know, the other issue, which I don't know the answer to, okay? There's no way I can know the answer to this, and I'll be very happy to say that. I don't know how much freedom he's given. I don't know if they want him to do a lot of checks. I don't know that. So, you know, that's something. I mean, there's a Hall of Fame quarterback, I don't need to name him, who told me that, who I've gotten to know, who told me, I didn't like to check at the line of scrimmage at all. I said, if I saw a play that, you know, I knew wasn't going to work really well, I'd run it and we'd come back on the next play. You know, so those are things I just don't know the answer to. You know, and there's many ways that teams can deal with that. You know, the issue when a team is not playing well is it's very easy to nitpick individual plays. That's easy.
Right.
And you know, I'm not one who likes to do that a lot because, you know, I just feel, like I said, that's an access to the result kind of thing. Once you know it, you know, once you see what happened the first 2 weeks, and obviously if Bullock makes the field goal week one, we wouldn't be thrilled with their offense, but we'd be having a slightly different conversation. But this week, you know, the game was actually competitive, what, for a quarter and a half, and then it got away from
them. Yeah.
Third quarter was the disaster. Yeah. And we haven't even hit on the defensive side, but, I mean, the Titans have serious corner issues.
Well, they have corner issues because of who they're playing. I mean, they were playing a rookie free agent corner who got a lot of snaps. Farley's going through his learning curve right now, his welcome to the NFL moments. And we'll see, you know, when he comes out on the other end. He certainly has talent and traits. That doesn't automatically mean he'll be great, but, you know, he's got to learn. He hasn't played a lot of football. You know, that's the other thing. Yeah. He hasn't played a lot of football in the last 2 years. So, you know, he has to learn now. And, you know, I know everybody's going to talk about the Kumerow play, and, oh, that means he stinks, you know, because it's Kumerow. Imagine if that was Diggs, you know. That's easy. Again, those things are easy to say.
Hey.
Okay, let's turn the page, Greg. Let's look ahead to the Raiders.
Are you done talking about that debacle?
I mean, no, it's so much. Okay. We need 2 hours with Greg to break all that down.
No, but that was good perspective.
Oh, without question. Looking at Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, why are they being held? Have you watched a little film on the Raiders, Greg?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, why are they being held in check like this? I think one sack and not many pressures on the QB with two guys and Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. that make a living off of getting at them.
Yeah, but I think that's, again, now you're going to, you have to look at who they played. You know, last week they played a quarterback that is very chaotic and frenetic and moves a lot. I don't mean that in a bad way. I know those words sound bad. But when you play Kyler Murray, you know, he's not a stationary guy. You could win, which they did, you know, win their one-on-ones, and he moves. So, you know, I think when it comes to sacks, it's just like tackles for interior defensive linemen. You know, when I do my college work, I can look at a stat sheet and see, you know, a defensive tackle has one tackle in the game, and I watch the tape of the whole game, and I come away going, God, he dominated the game.
Right.
You know, so you have to be careful about sacks. I mean, you know, Murray is a guy, obviously Tannehill's not that guy. Murray is a guy that is, you know, he just is, he's like a cat. You know, he just moves so fast that he's, you know, sometimes he can be very hard to bring down. You know, in week one they played the Chargers, and Herbert just gets rid of the ball so quick. I mean, their pass game is incredibly timing and rhythm based. So he gets rid of the ball in the quick game exceptionally fast. So they play two quarterbacks where the statistical sheet is not going to look good, Ron. But you can't go into this game thinking those guys aren't good players.
Right. Right.
All right, Cosell, we're running out of time, but real quick, before we go to the break, I do want to hit on Derek Carr. What is he doing well? What is he not doing well on tape?
I think, you know, Derek Carr is a really good thrower of the football. You know, and you could say this about many quarterbacks. When they're clean and secure in the pocket, they look good, but he looks really good when that's the case. Sometimes I think that his base and his balance break down a little when there are people around him, and then he hurries his throws and he throws off balance. He has a tendency to do that, but if you can protect him, and you know, now you get into the pass rush of the Titans, which I think that's another issue we didn't really hit on that.
Right.
You know, so you know, if you give him a comfortable pocket with the weapons that they have, is Fulton due to be back this week?
He's still on the injury report.
So we don't know the answer to that. So now you got Adams, you got Renfro might not play either, I guess. Is he still in concussion protocol? I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
But obviously Waller, you know, they've got weapons. So Mac Collins has done well for them, and he's 6'3", 6'4", and he can run. So, you know, you have to speed up Derek Carr. You can't let him be comfortable in the pocket. However you choose to do it, I once had a defensive coach who coached for years and years in the league tell me, if you rush four and you can't get there, you have to rush five. You can't just let a quarterback sit there.
Especially Derek Carr. There you go. Good stuff always, Cosell. Man, we could have gone for like an hour today.
Definitely.
Appreciate it, Greg.
All right, Don, have fun this weekend in Ames.
Oh, thank you. It's my first trip to Ames. Is there anything I should know?
who does Iowa State play?
They have Baylor.
Oh, wow. That's a big game because Iowa State 3-0, right?
Yeah, and Baylor's 2-1. Their only loss to BYU. So, and there's some NFL talent on both those rosters. Right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, wait. Iowa State. Oh, they have the pass rusher I love, Will McDonald. I love that kid.
Oh, yeah.
I watched his tape this summer, and I actually watched him last summer too because I thought he would come out. I really like that kid.
Yeah, I liked him last year. I got to see him last year in person, so I'm excited to see what he can do. Yeah, and then Iowa State has that receiver too.
Oh, Hutchinson, right?
Yeah.
I didn't watch him this summer. Yeah, he was a guy I wanted to get to, but I just didn't. I watched probably 20 receivers, and I just didn't get to him.
Well, there you go. You can get to him after this year because he's a fifth-year guy.
Because he has to come out. I think he's a fifth-year guy, so he has to come out.
I think it's finally time, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Seems like some of these college players are like eight-year guys now, you know?
Yeah,
I had an eight-year guy last week. Crazy. All right, thanks, Cosell. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, thanks. Appreciate it.
There you go. That is Greg Cosell, best in the business, man.
Without question.
Contest. Do we have the box to give away
tickets? Come on,
CJ, let's go.
Yeah, we got a roll. We got
hustle,
a roll.
Hustle. One, two.
CJ got a stroll. He got a stroll and a box.
We got the wash away toast coming up next.
It most definitely
come join us live here, Buffalo Wild Wings in Clarksville. We're giving away, this is our second pair of tickets and two passes to the tailgate party. that we are giving away, and then we'll give another pair of tickets away here on site, and then some club tickets at 5:30 as well. This one goes to Brenda Clark. Congratulations.
Brenda Clark, she got tickets, baby.
Oh, she's in the
there
building.
She is. Yeah, let's
there
get it.
There you go, Brenda Clark.
Titans
heading
Raiders.
To the game on Sunday. We're back with a wash away toast after this.
Welcome back into 3HL. You made it just in time. I hope you're up here in Clarksville, Buffalo Wild Wings. If you're not, you're about to miss the Wash Away Toast. It's 4:45, people. You know what time it is. We got to get straight to it. The Miller Lite Wash Away Toast, man. Thanks, Miller Lite, right here, Buffalo Wild Wings. We're about to set it off right here. We washed away whatever was going on in the week before, whether that was a win, whether that was a loss, whatever it is. We got to move on. We got the Raiders up next, and we got the Gators to take care of. So guess what? It's time. Here we go, Babs.
Did you practice?
No.
I feel like you should have practiced. Last week was an important one. This week is an even more important one. All
the
right.
drinking or the toast?
All of the above. Here is our own Ron Slate.
Right. This is the Miller Lite Wash Away Toast. This right here symbolizes everything we need to wash away. And Lord knows this should have been a pitcher instead of a cup. You know what I mean? Because we got a lot to wash away. But one thing about it, man, we never, ever, ever given up hope. We saw last year, the king went out. We still strided forward. We made things happen. Now we got a lot to deal with because it's more than one person this time. But I believe in Vrabel. I believe in J-Rob. We believe in the Titans. We believe in the fans. We're going to keep pushing ahead. We talk about the underdog. We don't want nothing else, nothing but the smoke. So the Raiders coming to town, the silver and black. Ain't nothing about it. That don't scare us. You ain't doing nothing but going back. The black eyes. Black eyes. That's the only silver you're wearing. Tighten up on three. Watch it all the way. 1, 2, 3.
Tighten up!
There we go. The Miller Lite Wash Away Toast. Ron Slay in the building. This is a good group here in Clarksville, by the way.
There we go, Babsy.
Come join us. I know you shouldn't be getting on the radio right after you just wash away.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm fired up. I got my tailgate lungs ready. I got my tailgate liver ready. I mean, they can't stop me, man. I'm going straight into Saturday, giving some Gators. I'm gonna eat me some Gator. I'm gonna wear some Gators. I'm coming back with Gator necklace. Then I'm rolling right into Nissan Stadium with the tailgate, getting fried, going in there, getting the victory, tightening up, two-tone blue, King Henry, Vrabel. It's going down.
You got a big weekend.
Let's roll.
Time for a break. Kevin Dyson, the Miracle Man, coming up next. And then
let's
at 5:20, we got Matt Miller from ESPN, the NFL draft scout analyst, all of those things coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, including two more pairs of tickets. One of them we're giving away here at Buffalo Wild Wings, 110 Southampton Place in Clarksville. Come and see us for our Titans football feast.